Shalom and good morning. Yeah. I'm going to have to begin with a little Hebrew lesson. Shalom is a Hebrew word. It means hello, goodbye, and peace. So when we greet you with shalom, it's customary to respond with shalom in return. So why don't we try that again, but this time with everyone together, a little louder in Jewish style. Shalom.
Shalom.
Much better. Maybe I should have said shalom, y'all. Now, just to let you know, I'm from North Carolina originally, and so we say shalom, y'all, there. And it is great to be here with you this morning to talk about the Lord. I will be sharing my testimony, introducing myself, and we are going to learn about Jesus maybe in a little bit of a different way this morning. So I am the founder and executive director of Light of Messiah Ministries. Our ministry is an outreach to the Jewish people. So we spend our time in ministry helping Jewish people understand Jesus in a way that they can. We also want to help our brothers and sisters in Christ learn more about the Jewish roots of our faith, connecting Old Testament and New Testament. So our ministry is very involved in the Jewish community and helping the Christian community understand the Jewish community. And our heart's desire and prayer, as it was Paul's in Romans, is to see the nation of Israel and Jewish people reached with the message of our Messiah. I am Jewish. Born and raised in a religious Jewish home, I became a believer in Jesus about 44 years ago while a student at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. So if you're a Duke fan, you can leave immediately. Probably not a lot of Duke fans here today, but anyway, I came to faith, and after coming to faith, the Lord called me into ministry, and I've been in ministry for about 40 years, doing what I'm doing right now, which is helping Jewish people and Christians get it. So I'm going to share my story with you, and we're going to jump into Scripture in just a couple of minutes. I was born and raised in a religious Jewish home, as I said earlier. Oh, and also, I want to let you know that tonight, hopefully you'll come back for Hanukkah. I do want to tell you something of this right now. I hope it doesn't come as a shock to you. Please don't get up and leave when I tell you this, but it's incredibly important for you to understand that Jesus didn't celebrate Christmas and Easter. Okay, you do get that, right? I hope some of you are just staring at me, but that's fine. He lived a Jewish life, and if he were to come back today, let's just say he came back this week, and he just wanted to hang out for 5 days, he would have come. He would have probably arrived on Thursday because he wouldn't have wanted to travel on Friday, because Friday's sundown, Shabbat, it's the Sabbath. And where would Jesus go on the Sabbath? He would go to synagogue, right? And he would know what was going on, and he would hang out with his people, my people, the Jewish community, and would know what Friday night looks like. And then Saturday morning, they open the Torah scroll. Of course, he would know that. He would be familiar with the readings. He would be familiar with the prayer book. He would actually get it and understand it. Then he'd come to church on Sunday morning. He'd say, "What y'all doing?" "Well, we're getting ready to celebrate your birthday. Your birthday, we're celebrating on Tuesday night and Wednesday." And you'd go, "Great. Wonderful. You should be celebrating my birthday, but it was in September." I mean, you know Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. I think it's wonderful that we're celebrating his birthday. The point is, he celebrated the Jewish festivals, and tonight we're going to be looking at, I'm going to go through all of them, but we're going to be specifically looking at Hanukkah. I mean, Jesus celebrated Hanukkah. It's actually mentioned in the New Testament, and we're going to be talking about that tonight because it's important and significant, and there's a connection between Hanukkah. Hanukkah has nothing to do with Christmas, but in a way, it sort of does. And tonight, you'll learn about that. 5 o'clock, looking forward to it. If you don't come for anything else, come for the chili. And bring your friends. And we're going to have a really good time. It's going to be a great time. And I'm going to have a question and answer time tonight. Anything you want to know about, I'll answer your questions. So I was raised in a religious Jewish home. I was in synagogue 5 days a week, every week from the time I was 5 or 6 until the time I was 15 or 16, and was instilled with a great love for being Jewish. Being Jewish has always been incredibly important to me. And growing up in a religious Jewish home, there were two things that I was taught about Jesus. We learned about other religions. Two things I was taught about Jesus. Number one is he is your God. You all come to church and you worship Christ. You worship Jesus. And you're celebrating the birthday in a few days of the birth of the Son of God, the God incarnate. And so Christ, to a Jewish person, is the Christian God. It's who you pray to. And similarly, they would say, well, Muslims have Muhammad and Allah, and Buddhists have their gods, and Hindus have their gods, and Christ is the Christian God, and we just have a phone. It's a red hotline, and you just pick it up, we go straight to God. We don't need a mediator. That would be the way a Jewish person would think. The second thing that I was taught is that you can't be Jewish and believe in him. So a Jewish Christian to a Jewish person is kind of like a vegetarian for beef. Now, it's supposed to be funny. This side of the room laughs. This side of the room, I'll keep working at it. So that's what I was taught. It's an oxymoron. You can't be Jewish and believe in Jesus. Christ is the Christian God. You accept him, you stop being Jewish and become a Christian. That's what I was taught. When I was in high school, one of my cousins became a believer in Jesus. I saw her life change, but I wasn't interested at all in the Jesus thing. Then I went off to school to the University of North Carolina. It was there that I began to wonder about my own Jewish identity. I began to wonder what it meant to be Jewish. I began to wonder, who is God, where is God, why God, what does it all mean? And so I decided I wanted to read the Bible, which I had never really read before. Growing up in the synagogue, I knew about Judaism. I learned culture, learned history, learned the festivals, prepared for my bar mitzvah. But I never really opened the Bible before, so I wanted to. But I didn't have one. I needed a Bible. So my very first Bible in college was a Gideon's Bible that I stole out of a Motel 6. Thank God for the Gideons. Thank God for Motel 6. They leave a light on for you and a Bible in the room for you to take. And I love telling the story. I'm actually going to be speaking at the state convention in February, Georgia State Convention of Gideons. And I love telling the story because it's a God thing. It's a God story. A lot of times there's somebody in the church who actually cares about me and wants me to feel better about myself, I guess. So they'll come up to me after service and they'll say to me, Murray, I just want you to know something. You didn't steal that Bible. That Bible was there for you to take. And I look at them and then I ask them the question, so what about the towel that I wrapped it up in when I took it? Then they really start praying for me and wondering about my relationship with God. But it's good. I ask forgiveness for the towel. But I took that Bible back to my dorm room. I began to read, and God put some believers across the hall from me who were involved in InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. And they invited me to learn about Judaism. They wanted to ask me questions about what did Jewish people believe about God, the Messiah, the afterlife, heaven, hell, rebuilding of the temple, all kind of prophecy, whatever it is. What did Jewish people believe? They would talk to me about their faith. Now, I was not open or interested in Jesus. Jesus was not on my radar, didn't mean anything to me, and I wasn't interested. But one of my friends asked me if I had ever read any of the Old Testament prophecies that talk about the coming of the Messiah. I said, no. He said, why don't you read Isaiah chapter 53? So if you guys have your Bibles with you, can you open them up to Isaiah chapter 53? I'm going to have to move very quickly. Isaiah chapter 53, okay, I was a 17-year-old college student, knew nothing about Jesus, and I had never read this before in my life. So Isaiah chapter 53 begins, "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. So Isaiah, writing a description of an individual, the first thing I saw that there was going to be an individual who was going to come to the nation of Israel, and he was going to be rejected. He was going to be despised. Who has believed our report? The first sentence, Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed our report? The implied response in the question is, not many have believed our report. In fact, in John chapter 12, we read in John chapter 12, even after all the miracles Jesus had done, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the prophecy. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? So this is a Messiah who is going to come, and he would be misunderstood. He was a man that was not attractive in his appearance. How many of you watched The Chosen? Okay, Jesus is way too good looking in The Chosen. And my wife would say that Peter's better looking than Jesus. And The Chosen's fiction, just so y'all know, and we can talk about The Chosen tonight if you'd like to, but there was nothing in his appearance that we would be attracted to him. So there was he didn't look like that. Any other pictures? Okay. Yeah, he didn't look like that. He didn't look like that. The pictures we see of Jesus, most of them make him look a lot more attractive than we know he was. But I began to see, as a 17-year-old college student, Jewish college student, this person was going to come. But then he was going to do something. He was going to carry something. And so we're going to continue on. Surely, verse 4, he took up our infirmities, carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the sin of us all. So this Messiah, or this individual, is going to come and carry the sin of humanity. Specifically in context here, the sin of the nation of Israel. Y'all can finish this verse. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called children of God. He came to the nation of Israel. And many believed on his name, but the nation turned. As a nation, not all individuals. But he was despised, he was rejected, and he came to carry the sin of us all. All of us, we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned to our own way. But the Lord has laid upon him the sin of us all. He was bruised, he was striped, he was pierced. Whoa. I mean, I'm an 18-year-old Jewish college student, University of North Carolina, and I'm going, wow, this sounds a lot like Jesus. I mean, I was intrigued at this point, reading Isaiah chapter 53. But that's not where this chapter stops. We're going to continue on with verse 7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is silent, so he didn't open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Okay, so Messiah is going to come. Messiah is going to carry. And then Messiah is going to be or this individual is going to be cut off from the land of living. He's going to die. He's going to die. And he's going to be buried with a rich man in his death. Who can speak of his descendants? I mean, that's like a question that comes out of, it's rhetorical. Who can speak of his descendants? Well, he's going to die. He's going to be buried. How can you speak of the descendants of an individual who's going to die a death and be buried? But we're going to talk about his descendants here in just a second. It's just this individual is going to come, carry, and be cut off from the land of living. As an 18-year-old student, I mean, I had no idea. I didn't know who Joseph of Arimathea was, the rich man who buried, entombed, gave the tomb to Yeshua, to Jesus, to be buried in. But messianic prophecies being fulfilled over and over again. The Messiah to come, Messiah, or in this individual will carry, he'll be cut off from the land of the living, but then he's going to do one more thing. We're going to keep reading. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, listen to this, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After his death, after the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. So this individual is going to be bruised, striped, pierced, suffer, die, innocent life, and then he's going to live. He's going to live. He's going to conquer death. He's going to become alive again. I don't know about you guys, but when I'm reading this, I'm thinking, now, this is written 750 years prior to the birth of Jesus. So we're reading a prophecy that we know was written way before Jesus was born in a manger. But Isaiah is giving us a clear description. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. He will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great. He will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. I'm going, whoa, this is unbelievable. It sounds so much like Jesus. And so I'm intrigued, and I decided what I'm going to do after reading Isaiah chapter 53 is I'm going to turn a page in my Bible that most people, I mean, it's not my Bible. Jewish people, when they open their Bible, they don't have this page, okay? It says the New Testament. So, but it was in my Gideon's Bible. And so I decided I'm going to turn that page. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm going to learn all about your God. I'm going to learn all about the God you worship. I'm going to learn all about the Jesus you pray to. Jesus Christ, son of Mr. and Mrs. Christ. Just kidding. I mean, I don't know if you've ever thought about it before, but it had to have been Joseph Christ. He met Mary. They got married, and she became Mary Christ. They had a baby. His name was Jesus Christ, and they had a mailbox, and it said the Christ. But I had no other filter, no other worldview, no other way to know that Christ is an English word. It's an English word that comes from the Greek word Christos, which comes from the Hebrew word Moshiach, which gives us the English word Messiah, which means the anointed one. I didn't know it was a title. And so I turn the page and I'm thinking, I'm going to learn all about your God. And I read the first verse in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. It reads, this is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. I don't know how much more Jewish you can get than David and Abraham. And as I'm reading through the book of Matthew, the gospel, I'm beginning to see this individual. The first three chapters I read six times. Six times in the first three chapters. This is to fulfill the word of the prophet. Well, whose prophets? Mine. And then Matthew 4 and Matthew 5, Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And you have heard it said, now I'm saying to you. And Murray, you have heard it said. Your mom, your dad, your grandparents, your family, your community, everybody your rabbi, the synagogue, your people. You have heard it said that I'm not the Messiah. But now I'm saying to you. And something happened to me as I was reading through the book of Matthew, this Jewish book written in a Jewish context, literally written for a Jewish audience. I fell in love with an amazing rabbi. A rabbi. His name is Yeshua. In Hebrew. Tonight we're going to be learning more Hebrew, and we're going to be talking about Hanukkah and what Jesus knew and about the holiday and the festival. And I fell in love with this rabbi. And I just knew, I prayed a prayer, and at the end of the prayer, I said three words, the most difficult three words to come out of my mouth up until that point in my life. And those three words were, in Jesus' name. I cannot tell you how difficult that was for me. I literally had my family and my people in one hand and Jesus in the other. And I'm going, okay, what do I do? Who do I follow? Who do I listen to? But Jesus, in Matthew chapter 10, he said, I have not come to bring peace but a sword. And there's going to be misunderstanding. And you're going to be kicked out of the synagogue. And the families are going to be divided because of me. And Murray, if you love your mom or dad more than me, you're not worthy of me. Jesus said that. But he also said, if you follow me, I will give you more brothers and sisters and moms and dads and grandparents and aunts and uncles than you could ever imagine. And that's happened. When I prayed in Jesus' name, I knew three things about the time. I mean, almost immediately. The first thing I knew immediately was that I had found the truth I was looking for. No question. The second thing I knew was it was going to be difficult for my family. And tonight I'm going to be talking more about my family. But I'm one of five believers. I was the second. But my brother, another cousin, and my mom's sister, twin sister, are believers. So God is at work. And the last thing I knew was that God wanted me to go back to my people. And to help others understand my people. The Jewish community. There's more misunderstanding now than ever. Like literally ever. Certainly since the Holocaust. But I would say ever. More misunderstanding. More anti-Semitism. Anti-hatred of Jewish people. Misunderstanding of Jewish people. And so what we do is we want to help Jewish people hear the message of Messiah. For you all this morning, I want you to think about the baby in the manger that was born. You know, he was born to die. He was born to carry our sins. He came into the world as a baby. We catch up with him at 12 years old. Kind of got separated from mom and dad. He was in his father's house. And then his ministry began. Three and a half years full time. And then Isaiah 53 was fulfilled. I didn't grow up in church. You guys grew up, many of you been in church 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And it's easy to miss Jesus in church. It's very easy to get wrapped up in this and miss the person whose birth we're getting ready to celebrate, whose life we remember, and whose resurrection, death and resurrection, changed the course of history. And so I want to pray for you all, and I hope you've seen Jesus this morning. You're going to see more of him at 5 o'clock. I love celebrating Hanukkah, and I'll be able to share more tonight. It'll be a lot of fun. While you guys are eating chili, I'll share more. But seeing him is what's most important. And so for those of you who are of faith, I hope your faith has been strengthened. For those of you who may wonder, question, who is Jesus? Is he the only way? Is he the only one? Is he truly who he said he is? Then I'm going to pray for you that God will help you understand that he is worthy of our faith, of our trust, of our hope. That baby who was born, fulfilled Isaiah 53. Let me pray for you guys, and then I'm going to let you know how you can pray for us. Father, we love you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the season. Thank you for an opportunity to focus on a prophecy written 750 years before the birth, Father, of Jesus. Yet you clearly laid out. It pleased you to crush him. Jesus, thank you for going to the cross. Thank you for being born. For those here this morning who know you, may our faith be strengthened. And for those here this morning who don't yet know you, by your Holy Spirit and through your grace, may they come to the point where they say, Jesus, please, I want to give all of me to all of you. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. We love you. B'Shem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to let you guys know how you can pray for our ministry. Could you please get out this card? Did everybody get one? If you did not get one, can you raise your hand? I think there's some extras back there on a chair. Thank you, sir. Are they back there?
There's some right outside on the little table.
There's some outside on the little table. So we'll get those to you. If you look at the cards, you'll see there are two panels, a larger, smaller, separated by a perforation. Don't tear along that perforation just yet, because I want you to join me in an ancient. If you raise your hand if you didn't get one, he's got them now. I want you to tear along the perforation. There's an ancient Jewish ceremony that we're going to do right now called the ceremony of the tearing of the connection card together in unison at the count of three. Thank you for laughing. You guys are tough. I'm going to count to three in Hebrew, and amazingly enough, you'll all know when to tear the card. Here we go. Achat, shtayim, shalosh. That was terrible. Terrible, get it? Terrible, terrible. I am trying. Okay, keep the small portion as a prayer reminder, please. Do not give that back to me. Please fill out the connection card. Email and snail mail. We want to stay in touch with you. Our ministry is hard at work. We just had an event at a ministry house in Roswell, and There were three Jewish people who came to a Hanukkah event that we had who don't yet know the Lord. And so we're meeting with Jewish people. Jewish people are open, interested. The war and the rise in anti-Semitism has increased, I guess, curiosity about spiritual issues and faith for not just Jewish people, but I think for lots of people. So we want to stay in touch with you guys. Fill out the card. Tonight, I'm going to have a book table set up in the fellowship hall with all kinds of material to help you learn more about Israel, the Jewish people, the Jewish festivals in relationship to Jesus. And we are a faith ministry, so we don't ask a lot from the church. When I come and speak or my associates speak, we don't ask a lot from the church. We just ask the Lord to speak to hearts. And if you care about Israel and care about the Jewish people and care about the work that we're doing to reach and teach and educate and fight anti-Semitism, you can support us financially if you feel led to. There's a QR code on the card, on the little part of card. It'll take you directly to our website. Tonight, I'll have a square, so you can use credit, debit card, of course, cash or check. I think there's going to be a plate back there that you can put your cards in and any love offering that you might have this morning. I want to say one thing in closing. It's so important. If it weren't for the Jewish people, we wouldn't have the church. It's a Jewish family here. If it weren't for the Jewish people, and we're going to make this connection tonight, that baby brought us salvation to the world. If it weren't for the Jewish people, we wouldn't have baptism, communion. We wouldn't have this book in its entirety, written by Jews, except for possibly Luke. If it weren't for the Jewish people, we wouldn't have Jesus or salvation. They've given us so much. The greatest gift we can give back to them is the gift of Jesus. It's our hearts, what we're doing. God bless you all. And I hope you've learned a little bit this morning. I look forward to seeing you, God willing, back at 5 o'clock for chili and Hanukkah. Just make sure if you're in the playoffs, your fantasy football teams are set with their lineups. And you don't have to worry about football.